Fun as possible.
What are you looking forward to in this game?
Shoot a lot of shots, make a lot of shots.
All of us has worked extremely hard to get here. We don't take it for granted. That's an amazing honor.
It feels very surreal. It doesn't seem like it's really happening.
First time all star. Many more to come.
This is what they all came to see, so yeah, give them a show.
We have the world's best on the world stage. It's showtime.
Give me something.
Anthony Davis, the ambassador, and knocks down the first shot of the 66th All-Star.
That's what they came to see, AD.
Use your speed. Let's go. Here's numbers for the East. Lob for James on the alley-oop from his teammate Kyrie Irving.
The assists continue to roll.
There's Westbrook from Durant on a beautiful feed. James off the window, getting himself in clutches. Oh!
Didn't McGrady do that first?
We're on the way to yet another record-breaking game. Giannis comes up with a steal.
Steph, move! Steph, move! Move!
Curry just looking to get out of the way.
Yeah, smart decision there by Steph.
He's so long, man.
There's Paul George, elbow jumper.
Oh, my goodness! Combo just flew over Curry and jammed it home.
Got him again. He wants to see the replay.
Westbrook is on fire here.
He has 41 points, one away from tying Will Chamberlain for the all-time record.
He's going for it.
Westbrook off the glass, and again it's Davis. 52 points, breaking Will Chamberlain's record. That'll do it. I don't think there's any question about the MVP.
The winner is, of course, Anthony Davis from here at New Orleans Pelicans.
Anthony Davis, leaving an All-Star with an MVP trophy. See you guys next All-Star.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Soul in Sports right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. I am your host, Mike Knox, and indeed I spell my name with three X's because, like the sports weekend that may have befuddled some, did not befuddle all. I spell my name with three X's, but people, you already know that. Listen, make sure you check me out on Twitter, on social media, wherever social media is sold at. Mike Knox, I am loud. I speak loud. Indeed, I spell it with three X's because, frankly, damn it, I get loud. Also, make sure you follow the show, Soul, S-O-U-L, capital letter N, Sports, also on the Twitter, and Talk Perfect Plex, as we have a lot to talk about today on the program. People, as always, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it this way. The particulars, 347-637-3859. NBA All-Star Weekend. Was it fantastic? Is it fantastic? I thought it was a good all-in-all weekend, the best in all four professional major sports in North America. That's for damn sure. DeMarcus Cousins, the trade that completely, as the word I just used to open up the program, truly has me, Mike Knox, befuddled. I don't see it. I don't agree with it. I'm not staying there if I'm DeMarcus Cousins. Too many eggs in one batch, if you will. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, congratulations to friend of the program. And just for those who don't know, when I say friend of the program, it's because, hell, I've interviewed them all, and I got a lot of friends. People, welcome into the introduction of the Hall of Fame in Diamond Dallas Page. People, DDP, bang, is going in to the Hall of Fame. Let's discuss that as well as Monday Night Raw tonight. After last week, I am excited. We do have two matches we know about. We'll talk about them later as well. But I'm excited for Monday Night Raw. I'm excited to talk WrestleMania and the biggest lesson. And we got betting odds on right now. And also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, Adrian the Problem Broner. Is he best for boxing? Can he be best for boxing? Will he be best for boxing? All that and dim sum. But as always, I'm joined by no other than my brother, Emmy Richmond, on the Twitter. But I call him what his mama called him, and that's Micah. What's going on, Micah?
Man, oh, man, I know I'm sounding tired, but that's what happens when you bring a new baby into the world. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, being a proud father also means you can't be a proud sleeper. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, man. But it's great. I like what I'm doing so far. I like the week. I had a week off, so that's where I was, in case any of y'all was wondering. If you didn't care, that's fine. No. Listen anyway.
You think we would let that monumental experiment in your life not be shared with the masses? Of course we said and congratulated you on the birth of the baby boy.
Oh, yeah. Yep, he's gonna be wonderful. Now, granted, I am gonna have to deal with one thing. The struggle will be real if he ends up liking John Cena. If John Cena's still around when he's holding up to like wrestling guys.
Why would that bother you? Does it bother you? My sons are John Cena fans. Does it bother you?
It's gonna bother me.
I think it bothers you. Whoever's a Cena fan.
It's gonna bother me because I know like I will know that I didn't raise my son right. That is a joke. That is a joke. But no, I've been good, man. I know I don't sound excited and exuberant as I usually do. Usually I'm loud and just boisterous and matching your energy. But I will tell you, I actually got into a little bit of All-Star Weekend. I didn't care too much for the skills challenges, didn't care too much for the three-point contest, cared about the dunk contest until I realized what kind of dunk contest it was. So I have stuff to talk about that when it comes to that. I had a really good weekend starting on Thursday, and that's something I can get into later. But, man, y'all, some people don't know this. But someone on this program who usually has a JMO said, yo, you know what, Emmy Richmond, you know what, let's give you one today. Oh, my brother, you want to see some fire come out now.
Are you going to testify? Well, I am going to testify. See, like the baby, like his father before him, you like to come early. See, you're giving people too much of the tea without putting the water on the kettle to make it hot first. 347-637-3859. Well, let's just start with the biggest news of today, which should have been NBA All-Star Weekend, but you wake up this morning and you're getting the news tweets all over the place that DeMarcus Cousins is on his way to the New Orleans Pelicans for one Chester PA's own Tyreek Evans. Buddy Hield, draft pick, top three protected, no less, in exchange for DeMarcus Cousins. I'm sorry, I got them mixed up together. I got befuddled. DeMarcus Cousins and Elmer Caspi. I don't like this trade one bit, and I'm going to tell you why I don't like this trade. To quote Fox Sports' own Skip Bayless, The Kings, on their behalf, made the worst trade in NBA history. And I agree with folks. So from the Pelicans' perspective, good trade, I guess. But you, if you want to, you can dive in on the side, Micah, of why the trade's horrible for the Kings. You can just look at it and read it on. It's in black and white how bad this trade is for the Kings. But I'm going to tell you why it's not so glorious for the New Orleans Pelicans. Would you like to begin?
No, I mean, you're the man with the master plan.
Sure?
Your name's not
Are
saying.
You sure? No, yeah. Are you sure? You should, I'm being generous today, being a new papa and all that you are. Papa.
I understand. But, like, unlike, you know, I don't want to do – I have to do what Steph Curry did in the NBA Finals that he reflected in the NBA All-Star game and lay down, because I want to see where this is going from Mike Knox.
Okay, well, this is where Mike Knox is going to take this, right? If you're the New Orleans Pelicans, see, this is what people don't understand, right? You wake up this morning, you go in various groups, you know, you listen to our Fox Sports team as they would have you tell it that this is a good trade. Why? I asked that question to about, I don't know, literally, I'm not exaggerating, 45 people. No, all I get back from all the 45 people that did respond when I asked the question why, because it amazes me also how when someone would put a post or make an article, you know, there's many, many articles out here written, right? But if you're not on FoxSports1340AM.com reading our articles, it really doesn't matter. See, Pop, but it's not. So, and you ask the question why, and they just ignore it. And they want to tell you, oh, because he's a big name. He's DeMarcus Cousins. He's the best center in basketball. Doesn't Anthony Davis play center? I think he plays center. He plays power forward and center. DeMarcus Cousins plays what? Power forward and center. Now, I get that Anthony Davis is more of a, you know, he is a, both guys, let me rephrase that, can shoot from the outside. They can shoot the 15, 17, you know, 20-foot jumper if need be. And they both get rebounds at an alarming rate. On paper, it looks good. But I am questioning who's going to give him the basketball. The Pelicans team is going to give the basketball to these two alpha males, studs, that need the basketball to work on the block in a one-on-one situation. Neither one is really great at the pick and pop. They can do the pick and pop, but they're not great at the pick and pop. I'm serious about how this looks for these guys at being their point guard. You look at their team right now. You look at the guards they have on the team right now. I'm not getting Kentucky. Kentucky. Tim Frazier. Goodwin. Tawan Moore. Reggie Williams might be the best guard on there, and he's really a forward. Who's giving these guys the basketball? I'm curious to understand how anybody, and listen, before we get any further, Hurd versus Knox is real. I'm not Colin Coward. I speak loudly because I demand results. I don't question your likeness or your fandom or whatever. That's a lie. I'm lying. I will question all that is above that I just said. But what I'm saying right now, Micah, is that I don't understand this trade at all outside of two big names. That's how I see it, brother.
You know what I was missing when it came to this trade? I was missing one thing, and that was the who? Because that's the question that I was asking, too. So, yeah, I love the fact that DeMarcus Cousins is going to a team that could be a contender. Not because everything, the other pieces in place that could actually help them be a contender are going to going to Sacramento. Oh, my gosh. Mike, I have to ask you, your experience watching and studying basketball, who has been the most poorly run franchises in basketball history?
There's a lot of them, but the Kings are one of them.
So, Kings are one of them. And
the
we think there's a lot of
The Pelicans are kind of still new, so I won't, like, kind of rip them yet.
Yeah. No, they see that ownership, the ownership in the general manager office just reeks up. Because the ownership is the same. If I remember correctly, the owner of the New Orleans Pelicans also owns the New Orleans Saints, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So outside that one Super Bowl, and getting Drew Brees and Sean Payton, how worked out? Because, technically speaking, you know, take Drew Brees out there, and that's a wrap for your team, because your team really isn't that good without Drew Brees. Now, I'm just saying, I'm just noticing there's a pattern when it comes to New Orleans professional and professional teams, and I think it has something to do with the ownership. It's one of those owners who like a lot, who claim they want to be a part of something but doesn't really want to win. Winning is actually going to help your folks a little bit more than anything else. When I look at this trade, though, I understand that both people can be on the court at the same time for one of those big man lineups. You can have either one playing the power forward, either one playing the center. And, you know, when you think about it, both of them are dominant at positions for what they do. You know, if you're looking at what they bring to the table, I had it right here, what they bring to the table, you know, on a per-game basis, you're probably looking at anywhere between 40 and 50 points between them. If they're mm-hmm. both on the court at the same time, if one starts and one's on the bench, which I doubt because they're both starting caliber players, you know, you're going to get at least 40 to 60 points a game between the both of them, and that's just honest. They also shoot three-pointers surprisingly, interestingly well for their position, which is pretty interesting. So here you got guys who can create a matchup nightmare against bigs, but at the same time, they're athletic enough to really handle smaller lineups too. So if they play Golden State Warriors, and the Golden State Warriors wants to go with their small lineup with Draymond Green being their center, they can still handle that and be able to bully Draymond Green because they're better than him. They will be better than him at that position. So there's some good in that from that standpoint, but I have to agree with you, Mike. Who is going to be giving them the ball? What kind of coaching strategy can Alvin Gentry pop up with?
I don't get it. I don't get it. You're looking at the same thing I'm looking at, right? I mean, this is I saw somebody today say that they could be the next Duncan and David Robinson, right? Didn't those guys have a point guard and Anthony Johnson and those guys and Bowman and all those guys? They were guards. They were part of that team. You know, I don't see in basketball you need that. This is like the Pelicans are now like the NFL's version of the Houston Texans. They have all the pieces to the puzzle, but they're missing the most important cog, the quarterback and the point guard. You know, he doesn't have to be a dominant point guard. He's got to have a serviceable guard and wing players to make this work. I hope it does work just for Anthony Davis. But let me ask you this. Is now Anthony Davis now Anthony Davis, to me, is the second best player on the team. What do you think?
I don't know if he'll be the second best player on the team. I understand
you
that.
You think he's still better than DeMarcus Cousins?
I think that if you were to tell me what their average stats is per game, and you would put that against them, I can show you concrete evidence of how the majority of the careers. I know he had a longer career by 2 years than DeMarcus Cousins, but I can show you how Anthony Davis minus assists is actually a statistical better player than DeMarcus Cousins. Because DeMarcus Cousins got him on assists. He got him on assists per game career wise. He doesn't have him on blocks. He doesn't have him on Doesn't have him really on points. Rebounds. Actually, points to rebounds are pretty comparable. So outside of attitude problems, you're getting pretty much the same person minus blocking, and that's just what I see. And I'm telling you this by looking at the stats. So. Definitely look at the stats. DeMarcus Cousins is a way better assist player when it comes to passing than Anthony Davis. And let's think about it in context.
The eyeball tells us that.
Well, yeah, the eyeball tells us. I mean, he actually, like, DeMarcus Cousins actually has people that can score the ball around him, that can actually score around him, so it can open him up for passing. Anthony Davis is like, I got to drop another 50 this game. Okay, let's go. that's the difference. So now Anthony Davis in his case can now be like, I'll drop 25 instead. I don't have to drop 50. Okay, cool.
I don't see it working. And they better make sure that they sign DeMarcus Cousins after the season as well.
Because he can opt out,
and I want to see him in our backyard of Washington, D.C. with John Wall. I really, really, really do.
Yeah, well, that'll be nice. You know, I honestly believe that in this league right now, the way we have it set up, and I know a lot of people are going to, a lot of people hate it. They hate players going to where they want to go to win and stuff. I'm sorry, that's the CBA. That's what the players and the owners agreed upon. That, and until Adam Silver pulls a David Stern, we use a mob boss move and say, well, no, I'm blocking all this kind of stuff, then you know what? That's what's going to continue to happen. So here's where we are. I believe that Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are well within their rights to go somewhere where they actually have a shot at competing. And you know what? If I was in their shoes, I'd go to the East because the West has a little bit more competition in it. I'll go to the East to a Washington Wizards, a team that's already built for success. You already got Wall and Beal that's already take care of you. You put them.
You already got your guards. You already got a. It's a better situation. It's just a better situation. And I'm not. And facts. 347-637-3859. We're going to take a break, y'all. We're going to be right back at the top of the. After the break, we're going to talk about that game that we should have been talking about at the beginning with. That's the NBA All Star game, y'all. We'll be right back, y'all. Fox Sports Radio 1340.
We live here, 2007. Oh.
Hold on.
It's the final All-Star game for Kobe Bryant, his 18th appearance.
On Saturday night.
Three-point contest. We're headed to the arena right now. Let's get it going.
It's going to be a tough one, man. It's going to be a tough one.
To defend my title, what do I need to do? Don't overthink it, just simplify things and go out there and let it fly.
The JBL three-point contest is upon us.
Are you going with the defending champion and Klay Thompson?
Well, without question, Klay Thompson's going to walk away with
it. Tell you what, man, we have some great shooters in this competition.
Biggest thing is just to have fun with it and just make more shots than everybody else.
He's in the groove already. You see the balance he has? His shot is the same every time.
It's no more balls, Eric.
Right here. It's big. Don't fade. He's fading.
Legs are tired, but you just have to grind it out. You got to be mentally tough.
You got to do some work.
Oh, my goodness.
No fading.
Uh-oh. Oh. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it.
We will be crowning a new three-point champion.
So our top three of course, Irving and Walker.
Final shot for Kemba Walker is good, and he posts 17 points here to open up the championship round.
Kyrie Irving will be next.
I'm going to go with Kyrie. Team USA, that's my boy. I'm going to go with Kyrie.
Easy. He shoots easy, easy.
We got him, yep. Kemba got him. Irving is in first.
Or did get him.
He had 20. This is our leader, Eric Gordon.
He's in rhythm, man. He's going to be tough to beat this kid right now.
Yeah, but this is the one he needs. He needs all of these.
Oh, he's getting nervous. Don't rush it.
Don't rush it. No. Oh. We got OD. We got OD, baby. It's Kyrie Irving to start things off.
Yeah, put that pressure on him.
And it's an 18-point session for Kyrie Irving. We'll see if Eric Gordon can beat it.
A former Pelican.
Let's not forget, he knows this building very well.
Been here for 5 years. I'm familiar with these rims.
He is the former Smoothie King.
It's all about making shots.
Knockdown shooter, man.
It's all about making runs.
Oh, yes, indeed.
He's got him.
It's all about who's hot.
He can efficiency. Check, please. Eric Gordon is your winner of the JBL three-point contest.
Great experience, man. I'm glad I got the hardware, and got to compliment the good shooters I was going against. Those guys are great. And it was just my night tonight.
If you liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We've brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Welcome back, y'all, to the Stolen Sports right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. Sorry about that. I had a little technical difficulties before the break getting the right clip there play for you guys. And so you're going to get a chance what I thought we were playing. But you did hear the three-point contest that did go down over the weekend. We talk about that as well, which I thought was better than the dunk contest this year by far. The dunk contest, like every other dunk contest, is just a dabbing a little bit. Well, I think I just dabbed on air. You couldn't see it, but I'm dabbing right now on air. Like every dunk contest, it's not really a matter of what they do. It's how they do it, and you have to do it on the first try. That's what – I don't care if the dunk isn't all that impressive. You have to make the dunk, and that's what makes the dunk contest the dunk contest. What made the popular ones in the past, you can name whatever one you thought was great. They were great because of the attempts were limited. They made them on the first, no more than a second try. I give credit for Eric Gordon even coming out there. He was injured, still trying to come out there for us, the people, because there were no big names in the dunk contest. He gave it a good go, did not succeed. But let's not – nothing being taken away from Glenn Robinson III, outside of his comments of, you know, I've been the underdog my whole life, which I call garbage on. You're the son of an all-star NBA player. How has your life been hard and been the underdog? That makes absolutely no sense. But nevertheless, congratulations, you won the dunk contest. Three-point shootout was very, very entertaining. And as you heard it all weekend long, fitting that a Houston Rocket, who was the NBA leading three-point team in the NBA, would have a Houston Rocket win that championship. But the All-Star game did definitely take place last night. And what made the All-Star game good for some, well, for this guy right here, it wasn't so fantastic. 182 to 192. They almost scored 200 points on the board. And yes, it was entertaining. Yes, we had 52 points broken. But that record that Wilt Chamberlain set of having 42 points, Kevin Garnett's 37 points, even Russell Westbrook's 39 last year? Somebody close to that number last year. If I'm wrong, forgive me. Special was that it was played different. This was probably the worst played All-Star game I can remember, Micah.
Well, look, man, let me tell you something, man. If you are one of those people who wanted to have a competitive basketball game, right, you still got a competitive basketball game. It just had zero defense. It was competitive offensively. Hey, who can do the best dunk here? Who can go ahead and go alley-oop for alley-oop? They were competing for, about to say, Russell Westbrook was like, you know what? I should have been going on a hot streak of shooting threes. And Isaiah Thomas was like, you know what? I can shoot better than you. Or Kyle Lowry got into it and started raining threes. Like, it was a three-point parade. It was, like, great. I was like, I didn't know how many people could hit three-pointers. Even look, Lebanon, I will call him Lebanon on this one. Lebanon decided to pull a Steph Curry. It was like, I can hit half-court shots, too. I mean, just come on. Like, and to me, that was what was entertaining about it, because, you know, I told you this. I told Wally this. I told anybody who's an NBA aficionado enthusiast, I don't care about the All-Star game, because there's nothing entertaining for me to really get invested into the All-Star game. But guess what they did for me, old casual basketball fan, who was quote-unquote hardcore Michael Jordan wasn't playing and decided not to be hardcore after Michael Jordan left?
Oh, there you got it. Why you got to say that name that gets people blood boiling? Well, you're right.
That's how
there
I was. I was a hardcore basketball fan when Michael Jordan was playing. I left when he left, and then I stopped following teams and only followed players. So I am going to boo you.
You're a bull. You're a bull offense right now.
Yes, sir.
I hate
this. Yes,
don't follow players. Follow teams. That's weak. Weak sauce.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, I am. Hold on. Is it sweet and sour sauce or just sweet? Sweet sauce?
Bologna.
Hey, go ahead. You don't have to stand for it, but it's okay. I mean, at least I admit it and I'm honest about it. Unlike some other people who are specifically ball washers of players and pretend like they have a team, like, you know, people who are fans of Cleveland, people who are fans of Golden State Warriors, pretend like their team. No. You're just a fan of the players on those teams. Well, no, I mean, hey, I'm honest about it. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I mean, this is the show for the intelligent sports fan. And as a sports fan, I'm sorry. When it comes to the NBA, I only follow players. Now, I used to be a Bulls fan. Then I stopped being a Bulls fan. That's what the truth is. But this game, the All-Star game itself, I loved it because I was invested in one thing and one thing only. I've never seen 200 points scored in a basketball game. Granted, it's a basketball game with no real significance or meaning, But it meant something to me to see someone go 200. And I was hot. I mean, steaming. My wife can tell you. I was in the room. She was looking at it, had a baby in my hand. I was like, come on, man. You got to score. You sitting here with 1 minute 30 seconds. You're 10 points away, and you slowing it down? Seriously? I was actually pretty mad. I was really, really mad, Mike, that they didn't get 200 points.
Anthony, Chi-Town's own Davis is 52 points on 18 dunks, which were fantastic, has an asterisk next to it. Okay?
Why?
The way the game was played. I'm sorry.
Oh, man, come on with the get off my lawn mentality.
First of all,
get off my lawn.
First of all, don't walk on my grass. Okay? I mow it. I take care of it. I have a right to tell you, your dog, and your kids to stay off my freaking grass. Okay? All right. So, I want the game played the way it's supposed to be played. Let's be real here. I mean, I hope we're always being real, right? So, let me put it another way. Am I wrong for wanting things the way it always was? Like, I get the world has to change and something, but where's the integrity of being proud that you are an all-star? I get not coming out here, going to the point where you're at the park, you know what I'm saying? You're going hard, you're trying to hurt somebody or someone get injured. I understand that. That's not what I'm asking for. What I'm asking for, a little more fluidness when it comes to the game. Play a little bit more defense. If he crosses somebody over, don't just let him have the damn lane. You don't have to jump it up. Put your hands up. Make it difficult in a way to make what should be an easy bucket. That's all I'm saying. They moved out the way. I'm not sure what was open more, the lane or the Red Sea. You tell me, you're a Bible thumper.
Man, I don't know, man. I think these lanes could put the Red Sea to shame. The way these guys are getting these wide open dunks. But then for me, that's entertaining. You know what? For you, Mike Knox, for you to want it that way, to want basketball played the way you grew up on basketball, there's nothing wrong with that. Because, see, the world is progressing through a lot of different areas, a lot of different things. And not all progress is actual progress. And so, you know, I can understand your viewpoint. Now, granted, I wasn't going to tell you about it, but I can understand your viewpoint that, hey, you don't mind 120 to 119 basketball game, or 110, as long as it was actually some back and forth, some real defense, some trying, you know, put a hand in the guy's face. You don't have to knock him, like you said, you don't have to knock him down, you don't have to give him a hard foul, you know, but you grew up in the era of basketball where even in an all-star game, you're going to be competitive and show these guys that you are a monster.
And
you
that's
do.
What I want.
And
what's wrong with that?
And that's when you're an all-star. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And I don't disagree with you. I just like what I like, and you like what you like. Now, here's the problem with people and logic, right? Not everybody deals in logic. Logically speaking, it's okay for me to like that game last night, and it's perfectly fine for you not to like it.
No, let me rephrase that. I didn't say I didn't like the game. Don't put words in my mouth. Okay?
Oh, that's the interpretation I got. Excuse me. That's the interpretation I received. I apologize.
Well, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired because I'm sick and tired of people telling me what I'm going to tell you that I'm sick and tired of. And that's people telling me the way you come across is like that's factual. When I clearly remember what's the movie? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Rush Hour.
Thank you. I'm saying to you is that I didn't enjoy it as much as I would have liked to because it was clearly I can't compare what that was last night to anything. And when I can't make an example, it bad or good, there's a problem here. Okay? Mm. That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you not to like it for what it was and you want to see 100 points. I would love to have seen 200 points too if they'd have balled to get it. It's like
okay.
You
get
my point? What's the use of you getting a triple double if someone told you, hey, you need one more assist to get it, so you get it as opposed to it coming naturally in the flow of the game? What if someone told you you're 5 yards away from breaking Joe Montana's record and you had no clue about it because you wasn't chasing during that game? You know where you were before the game because that's what people do. You look at stuff. People tell you stuff. But I'm talking about like actually just playing the game and it happens. Or you go out there and make a bad pass. You give me the examples I'm making now because it's coming all back to me. That's all I want from sports. Give it to me organically. Come on, we all like orgasms, don't we?
Yeah, we all like it when it's organic. If it's not organic, if it feels like it's forced, if it feels like a push down your throat, and that's when people get all a little hissy fit about it or get mad because that's what they want it. They want it to be organic. And honestly, I thought if I'm using that term organic, I thought it was organic that they wanted to actually relax. I mean, you know, because that's what the boys want to do. They want to relax. It's like, hey, we all cool here. We all friends. We can do a little competitive 3-point contest of our own. We can do a little dunk contest of our own, alley oops, all kinds of stuff. Which, by the way, begs the question that everyone keep on arguing over every year since he's been in the league. Why would LeBron James participate in the dunk contest? Like, okay, I mean, Mike, I mean, does he have to? Do you feel like he has to?
Was after what? I'm sorry. I was responding. Go ahead. I'm sorry. One more something I'm sorry.
No, perfectly fine. No, I was saying that a lot of people, when they saw all the dunks that was going on between Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James doing some dunks, and of course, the group free.
I thought you said that.
Destroying.
Hold on. Before we talk about Antetokounmpo, okay, but to answer your question, I, as a basketball player, okay, I play high school basketball in the south side of Chicago, so you got to be kind of tough, right? When I read that and heard that and everything, including our own, what up, King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter, who also tweeted out the same thing, I said, I snickered and I laughed as a basketball player and say, what do you hear Kenny the Jet always say? It's a game dunk. You know, even in dunk contest, that's a game dunk. They didn't do anything that I have not seen before in that all-star game, dunking the basketball, that would have been differently accepted in the dunk contest, except for the fact they were making them. You want to say they were making them? Okay. But outside of John Wall's windmill, there was no other significant dunks. Maybe LeBron's. He caught that one off the backboard really, really high, and he threw that backwards. When he threw it backwards, that, other than that, They were game dunks. I wasn't impressed with going more than there were great dunks for in the game, and I enjoyed them. But no, those dunks better than dunk contests. No, they're different kind of dunks. Come on, you got to know those kind of things, people. Come on.
Well, yeah, they are different kind of dunks. But like, I think people were going on that when you look at the dunk contest of what it had, and you see the athleticism of guys who can do more than just dunk. If you were sitting like, why can't we have them with their creativity and all the things they come up with?
What has happened, Micah? I'm sorry, blind tag. What has happened was the fact that fans, as you know, I have the hashtag going, fans got to go, hashtag Herd versus Knox, is that people have to understand that it's a game. And before Jordan became Jordan, and maybe a bad person naming him, right? But we went through a phase about 10, 11 years, Micah, where they were no names in a dunk contest. We knew Kobe Bryant was drafted out of high school, but did we know Kobe Bryant was going to be able to win the dunk contest? We knew about Harold Miner, but was Harold Miner really a big name, Baby Jordan? Isaiah Ryder, we knew what he did in the college dunk contest, so we kind of had an idea because they came from college. But we didn't know. Eric Gordon, we didn't know. Zach LaVine, no one knew. So to get on these guys and people say the dunk contest sucked, yo, it wasn't good. I'm not going to say that it was. And it wasn't because we don't have the LeBrons in there. It's because John Wall, before all of you knowing because he was a high-profile guy coming in the league, John Wall winning the dunk contest was a surprise to most people. Let the dunk contest be the dunk contest and build these stars. They built Eric Gordon. It built Zach LaVine to become the name that we expected to see this year that didn't pan out. But come on, many great dunkers have lost in a dunk contest. Need we say the greatest misser dunk contest competitor of all time in Sean Kemp? Probably arguably the greatest dunker, and should go down as one of the greatest dunkers in NBA history, at least in game dunks. But in a dunk contest, never won one? Come on.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of crazy. A guy like him who, you know, you pretty much feel like he's going to bring death upon somebody in the middle of a game to win a dunk contest to save his life. That's kind of strange. Yeah, good competition. But, and that's why I came with that, Mike. You know, I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that, because when I see the dunk contest and I saw how people were clamoring about having athletes in the All-Star game do the dunk contest because they'll be better and all this stuff. Well, at the end of the day, my main question is this. You know, if the dunk contest with all these props and stuff is not entertaining, why would then the next suggestion be, well, let's get rid of the props so that people can go back to dunking in the regular traditional fashion? Wouldn't that just be boring now? Because now you have to rely on your individual athleticism, which, you know,
I've never liked the props. Outside of jumping over something, I think that it went way too far when Blake Griffin brought out the choir.
He brought out the choir.
That's when he jumped over the car. He brought out the choir.
When he jumped over the Kia.
And he only jumped over the hood of the Kia, not the whole Kia.
Yeah, he only jumped over. Yeah, everyone, I've seen,
which if you haven't seen, go to YouTube and you can see there. People doing that better than that at beach contests and like Venice Beach and things like that down in Chicago and Rutgers Park, mm-hmm. dunk contest, you know, other than that, not taking it from Blake Griffin. I can't do it. Okay. However, you know, I can't. All right. But the Superman coming to the booth and all that, that's just too much, but that's what fans ask them to do. So I can't be mad at the players or, you know, be befuddled by the players doing that because that's what fans ask. So
hashtag fans gotta go.
So now you want it. People think it's just wrestling fans that get all confused and whatnot. No, fans of every genre, of every sport, of every era. It's something that we ask for. It doesn't happen. If it happens, we don't like it when it happens. The drone and me wasn't a bad idea.
Remember baseball fans saying, well, this All-Star game is boring. It needs to mean something. All right, cool. Well, now it's going to whoever wins it gets home field advantage. No! You asked for it. You said you wanted the All-Star game to mean something. Well, in baseball, it means a lot. Good job, fans. Good job. Good effort.
Now, I was going to say, and I'm glad I stopped myself because that's not what I meant to say, was that the drone wasn't a bad idea, right? It wasn't a bad idea from the standpoint of fans. Again, hashtag fans got to go ask for something different. They ask for the crazy, the unknown. Again, I believe Glenn Robinson Jr., Glenn Robinson III said it, and we've heard this for years, and I think fans forget when people say this. It's not a cop-out. It's legitimate. It is fact. There is not anything that someone can do. And I won't say anything, because saying something, anything limits things. There's very little what someone can do, and that probably person that can do it probably isn't in the NBA for whatever other reasons, can do anything anymore to surprise you. So you have to respect the power, the gracefulness, the ability to get it on one take to accept these dunk contests. Because how many times have we seen someone jump in a free throw line? And every time someone goes, oh, that's getting old, when they don't like the person that's doing it, right? You heard it every year. Every year, besides this year, someone has to jump in a free throw line, right? But it was boring again until Zach LaVine did it, and he finally glid like MJ glid, right? Then it was like,
glid. That's what people wanted to see. Yeah, right. That's what people wanted to see. They wanted to see the proper rendition of it.
Exactly. Then he did the between the leg dunk from the free throw line. They were like, oh, that's corny. What? People have been jumping from the free throw line getting 50s, and he does it and goes between the legs, and y'all go, it's boring? Hashtag.
Yeah, you going from the free throw line. First of all, coming from the free throw line for any guy who's an athlete was already hard enough. We've seen guys, more athletic than MJ that still couldn't do that. And you have this guy who was able to do it and have enough and get his timing right where he can go between the legs and finish clean, and that was boring comparison to the straight up just flying through the air and dunk. You know what they just need? You know what they need? They need to go ahead and for the next dunk contest, just do the slam ball court. Go ahead, you remember slam ball? Where it was all
dude,
trampoline.
I thought I could do it. I thought I could do it until I realized I had horrible knees.
Well, slam ball takes some serious athletes, but you know what? You go ahead and get some slam ball going, and now we can get all the NBA Jam tournament edition dunks we can want. So, you know, go ahead, NBA Jam. That's what I mean now. Just put trampolines in there and have guys do backflips and cartwheels and all kinds of little stuff in the air. You know, one dunk, it was probably fake, but it was one commercial, the Adidas commercial, when Kobe Bryant actually had relevant shoes, and he was gliding from the free throw line. And he was on a 360 windmill in the air, and then they just froze it. It was slow motion. I think it was fake. So, you know, I don't think he really, you know, from the free throw line.
Right.
But
I remember that.
It would have been nice. Done. Yeah, you remember that commercial. So, yeah, fans kind of ruined it and stuff. But, you know, I mean, now I don't think you can do that if you can't run it.
And they give it like to King Vaughn. He asked, he said the DJ Khaled prop was stupid. I said, well, for what props are there for what fans want, I thought
DJ
it was pretty
Khaled's
cool.
Stupid.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'm not a big Khaled fan, right? But for him to hold to do a live Facebook video or what he was doing on Instagram, why he came to jump and dunked over the table, it wasn't a bad dunk. It was the fact it was why you want a 7-foot guy in a dunk contest. So even him doing it, his feet was down there on the floor when he dunked the basketball. Okay.
Yeah.
But if one of those other players would have done that, that'd have been really dope because he'd have dunked clear that. It'd have been new. Right.
Dunk contest. See, that's the dunk contest are impressive when shorter people do it more so than when taller people do it.
Exactly.
Unless a taller person got like crazy athleticism like Dwight Howard.
Like
had.
Dwight Howard.
He threw
exactly.
the ball, but he threw the ball in the hoop and actually dunked it.
I go back to when he did the top of the board, smack it in the backboard with the sticker, and it wasn't respected, but he showed how high he jumped. And again, things like that, I don't mind that. I don't mind the switching of the jersey to pay respect stuff, but I'm with you. Props got to go all together, and you know, but again, to each your own. If you like the props, you don't like the props, hey, it's better for you. But right now, before we go to Perfect Plex Talk Radio, y'all, we're going to put some of the other conversations on the board for the week. Talk about Adrian Bronner later in the week. We're going to talk about more about the NBA later in the week. Also, a conversation I want to get started in this program. Who's actually legitimately better, Kobe Bryant or LeBron James? CBS over the weekend brought out their top 50 players of all time. Did you get a chance to see that list at all, Micah? I'll make sure I post it for you if you have not. We're listed. They have Kobe at 10, Shaq at 9, LeBron is number 2. Next to his greatness, his airiness, that forever will be in the eyes of many, the true GOAT. You may call him Buddha. You can call him whatever. I call him my Lord and Savior. But that's what MJ is to the NBA when it comes to fans. You got your people that call him Allah. You got your people that call him Buddha, people who don't want to say that George is number one. But to most people, like we call, like most humans say God, Michael Jordan is the God of the NBA. But before that, something has you a little fickled, maybe a little befuddled. Maybe a little agitated, but I'm going to let you take care of the JMO by Emmy Richmond on the Twitter.
My head, it hurts, and not from taking care of my son at late nights. Ladies and gentlemen, Emmy Richmond here. Mike, I got something for you, okay? Came across an article earlier today. Minnesota Lynx Simone Augustus goes deep on why the WNBA players goes overseas to make more money. And this article was done from the Undefeated by Rhiannon Walker. I want to make sure I give credit where credit is due. The article is a very good read, and it gives some perspective on how some WNBA players feel about having to play overseas where they get paid more money overseas than they do here in the United States, right? So I want to say one thing from what Augusta said. So before I go in on this, without a doubt, we should, this is her quote, without a doubt, we should be able to get those sponsorship deals and really promo that, said Augustus. There are some areas we haven't tapped into yet. I don't know why. Really? You don't know why? Okay. But there's a lot of stuff that we can actually get involved with that men cannot touch. That's correct. You're not going to catch a man on a Tampax commercial. Right. There's many things that women use on a day-to-day basis that we can use. And we can use to get where we want to go. My JMO is, ladies, you have to have a better product. And that is not me talking as a man. That's not even me talking as a black man, because you all understand what kind of connotations comes with being a black man in America, not just today, but, of course, leading up until this point, and how being better, always something that you have to strive for in order to be respected at your craft. Ladies, you have a short season. One of the shortest seasons in sports that I've ever seen in my life when it comes to pro sports. You need to be fighting for a longer season. In order for you to get a longer season, you have to put a product that people can get behind. Not because you're a woman, but because you are good basketball players. You have a fantastic level of women basketball players in your history that put this brand on the map. And you have to get people involved in what you do. And it is not up to the WNBA commission. It is not up to any of them in the front offices of your brands. It's up to you, individual basketball ladies, to make your brand happen. The reason why most of these men are making more money than you is not just base salary, is that they make sure they do other avenues that make them better players off the court more so than on the court. Once again, Not saying that you ladies are evil people or you're trying to be social justice warriors and you're crying about not having equal pay for equal work. I'm sorry. Your work is not equal to that of guys because you're not working as hard as they are. And if you do, and you play an 82-game season, and you're putting butts in seats, and you're still getting paid $109,000 at the top level for what you're doing, then you can come to me, and you can come to me with that nonsense. The last thing I want to point out, she said something that really irked my nerves, that really got me fired up. She said she wants her daughter to have just as much big a dreams as her son. I'm sorry. Who's saying that your daughter can't have dreams like your son? Who's holding your daughter back? Is it you? Is it society? Last I checked, there was a woman running for president of the United States. Granted, she didn't do any well, but that was because of her campaign strategy. It had nothing to do with her qualifications, which she had fantastic qualifications for politics. It had nothing to do with what she did in business, because obviously she knows how to do a little bit on the business side because of the way she's grown herself and her marketing and her brand. Ladies who are successful in any walk of life always out-earn men. Who want to actually out-earn men. My wife makes more money than I do. Many women in my field makes more money than I do because they work harder than I do. Don't come to me saying that there's a pay gap in WNBA and NBA and you haven't done your due diligence to actually make your product better than the NBA's. That's my JMO, and you can come at me and call me all kinds of names you want to. I want women to be successful. I don't want women to make excuses. Okay, I'm done.
Woo!
Woo!
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Mike,
you
not.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday night, that's the Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch your Raw first, then listening to the Perfect Flex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't stress them, cause we destined for greatness. They on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, K of me? The crew better known as Three Count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez.
Mr.
The show covers every day. And for the marks that just hopped in the bag. Y'all need some wrestling history. Better listen
for
to Chad. They're rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition, too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to. Yeah.
Man, we're not just
cooking. Perfect Flex Radio. Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what y'all better be listening to. Every Monday night after Raw. Go on to www.bdsirnetwork.com or call in 347-637-3859. This is the Perfect Flex Radio, man. Y'all, you know what it is. Hey, yo, Mike Knox, I see you, man.
You
got $1 million audience, man. Matter of fact, let's talk wrestling, man. Enough of this, man. It's your boy, Fred Nux. Get at him.
Do you smell what Knox is cooking?
Rat Mania 2 coming soon.
Do you smell what Knox is cooking? Neck spelled with three X's. Cause damn it, I am hardcore. Yeah, let's get ready, baby. Perfect Flex Talk Radio, live in 5, 4.
Negativity won't affect us like Costa's infection. Let's hear it for New Day. All those other tag teams are booty. Yes, I said booty. Let's hear it for New Day. New Day. New Day. What a bunch of crap, Micah. What a bunch of dookies. And I'm not talking about the Blue Devils, okay? I'm talking about the kind that just won't flush. Maybe you are,
just a nugget. Did you see that the New Day will be the host of WrestleMania 33? And when I hear this, I don't mean, like, this time of year is my happy place. This is my happy place, Micah. Are they really going to be the host and not in a match? The longest reigning tag team champions of all time? Not in a match? Have the New Day become what we've already known them to be? Just a bunch of sucking and jiving brothers get it done on the big stage. Is that even fair to say? I mean, I've been accused of being a racist because I said someone won a title because it was Black History Month, and it's not too far-fetched. It's WWE, which I love and promote and even have a hashtag WWE guy. Seriously, the New Day are hosting WrestleMania 33. What's up with that?
My hand's hurting again. We got to replay the Ether music. It's time to go. No, I'm just kidding. We got to replay the Ether music. I mean, hey, you know what? For so long, we can put a positive spin on this, right? The New Day is not any major feud in which they need to be in WrestleMania. That's one thing. Second thing, one of the most over groups, granted, you didn't have to like their gimmick. I'm one of those people who at first did not like their gimmick. There's still certain aspects of their gimmick that I still don't like, making KFC booty on live TV. But that's disgusting. Horrible.
Horrible.
But you know what? Just like I may hate John Cena's character, just like I may hate the way they book Roman Reigns, there's still certain things that get over with the WWE crowd. And that was one of the things that got over the WWE crowd. And
you're making me say okay. I don't want to say okay to it.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. But you're an intelligent wrestling fan. You know this.
Not just with his suspected racism
behind their gimmick, but they took that gimmick and made it what it is today. Even to the point now they got their own cereal, and you know, they're probably going to end up having their own ice cream bars. They're going to have their ice cream bars for a CM Punk that got every day his ice cream bars.
There's already rumors they're going to have their ice cream bars for WrestleMania. That's what the rumor is. They're going to have ice cream bars at WrestleMania, and I'm going to be too far in the seat to get a free one.
I hope you get a free one, and you take a picture of it. You put it on social media so I can say, hey, it better not be called a booty pop. It better not be called a booty pop.
#BootyPops by the New Day. You hear that, Micah? Hashtag booty pops. We want booty pops. #We want booty pops and make sure you tag the New Day in it. Tag the New Day in that. We want booty pops.
The Big E's got a weird name, but Xavier Woods PhD, Austin Creed, as we know him, as his real name. Trust me, he will retweet that.
Oh my gosh. I can't let you live that one down, but that's better than Oldberg. We want booty pops. It ain't your beauty.
Look, these guys got people. If you don't understand anything about black folks now, just know that these three black men were able to get booty over more than rappers were. Just let that sink in.
I'm sorry. I got to disagree with that. Nothing was more popular than Two Live Crew, brother.
That's true.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did. I got you, but they made it popular again. How about that? They rebranded the booty. Okay.
I'm fine with actual active roster members who don't have anything important going on when it comes to WWE storylines to be the host of somebody. And you want to have somebody who's you know, people like their charisma. I enjoy their charisma. I enjoy their chemistry on the microphone, all three of them. Sometimes they have faux pas, but that's the nature of the business. Everyone has those. I'm fine with that because, you know, I know The Rock or Stone Cold or somebody of a nostalgia act is usually in that slot. But I'm fine with younger talent. The younger talent, the people who've been there for a while doing the same thing. So, you know, next year, hopefully we can have someone equally as entertaining as the New Day who can actually do it, but I don't know who that is. Because, I mean, once the New Day do theirs, who's going to be able to top what they do?
Yeah, it's like going behind Shaquille O'Neal. I'm good. You can be next. I'm all right with that. 347-637-3859. Monday Night Raw is tonight. Let's give our Raw preview, right? We can't review something until it happens, right? Braun Strowman takes on the Big Show in Los Angeles. That should be a big match, right? Like, literally. Enzo and Cass takes on Cesaro and Sheamus in the number one contenders match, okay, for the tag team titles, okay? Then we have the storylines going into there. We got Bayley winning her championship last week. Another pot shot title, if you will. Which I think it overshadows Naomi. I think it takes, I just do. Kevin Owens and Jericho fall out, best friends no more clearly. And obviously, right now, the reason to watch Monday Night Raw, Samoa Joe. Who, if anybody, can stop Samoa Joe? Are you excited for Raw tonight? I'm looking forward to it.
I'm excited to see Braun Strowman. They've been booking him fantastic, very believable. And what other way can you do it by now, the guys that you have knocking down? I know Mark Henry hasn't been relevant for a long, long time since his World Heavyweight Championship run, which I thought was one of his best runs in the company as any kind of face or heel character. That Hall of Pain run was great.
Yes.
It was real great. And that's how you legitimately make a black champion, folks. You can actually do it both heel and face. He was better as a heel. So there you go. So Braun Strowman. Fantastic with the way they've been booking him. I feel that this may be a more than one match thing, in which this one may not have a conclusion yet, and they may try to wait until Fastlane to bring it to some sort of conclusion. See what I'm saying? So they may try to bring it to some conclusion at Fastlane. They're not probably going to do it right now tonight. So I see this going into a pay per view. So that's how I feel. That's how I feel about that one. Other thing is, I like what they're doing with Sheamus and Cesaro. I think they're giving a slow burn for a breakup. Now, granted, we don't have to have another rivalry, but it'll probably end up being a rivalry because, you know, WWE has to keep those things going.
I think that's really premature. I don't see a breakup coming between Cesaro and Sheamus right now. I don't see that happening.
It would be.
As you pointed out to me last week, although I don't want to like it, and I said this after they were put together and Spot came on and said that he dubbed them a League of Nations 2.0. The fans have liked it, and I like their interaction with each other. I think for two guys, I think in Cesaro, who will never be the main event pitcher guy that some fans want him to be, I think he's a perfect Mick Carter tag team guy. And I think Sheamus has had his run at the top, so he's a reliable guy to fall back and still can be believable and nothing ever hurts his character kind of a guy. Like, we don't talk about the guys that characters are never hurt. Sheamus's character can never be hurt. From this point on, whether he succeeds or doesn't succeed, because he's done so much and his liking, you know, the way he is perceived with fans, are I don't think it's going to waver. But I don't see them breaking them up anytime soon. That's just me. Now you know it's WrestleMania season. I'm not telling you about your storyline. I just don't see it happening, especially not going into WrestleMania.
No, and I totally see that. It will be really messy to do that because, like just what you said, I see some things with both of them. Sheamus, you can put another belt on him for a transitional run, and it wouldn't hurt or defeat the purpose. Some very, very hardcore fans may be mad about it, but you got to ask yourself, well, who's more reliable as a transitional person than a guy who, you know, he's not really hurt that often. When he does get hurt, he comes back fast. The only thing that kept him out for a long time was that torn labrum, and that was about it. But for the most part, he's there. He's always reinventing his character in different ways. They have perfect chemistry together, both Cesaro and Sheamus. So I agree. It would be stupid to bring that up because the Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens thing, you can see it running its course organically. Because you can just see Kevin Owens just getting more and more annoyed with the list of Jericho. You can see him getting more and more of a Chris Jericho.
And that's kudos to Kevin Owens. That's kudos to him.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Jericho as well.
So him and Chris Jericho were fantastic in how they played that up. Sheamus and Cesaro are always mad at each other, kind of like how the Hulk always says, I'm always angry. So that, you know, to break that up will be like, why would you take that away from us when it was so good? So I do understand that point. Here's another thing, though. You said something that got a lot of people mad over the weekend, and I was going back through it, and I was seeing some of the responses, but I'm sorry. If you hate and want to call Mike Knox all kinds of racial slurs, by the way, I don't understand when people who are brown like you and me call us things that reflect racism and white supremacy if they hate things like white supremacy and racism. Why would you then use those words to disparage? If logic says I would not use words that disparages black people since the people who I don't like and think, you know, want to keep black people down, uses those words all the time. Maybe I shouldn't use the oppressor's vocabulary. Nope, I'm going to use it anyway. You too. Good job, dude. Good job. You're smart. But But for those of you who want to compare Naomi winning her championship to Bayley, I'm sorry, it's not the same. Here's the reason why it's not the same. Bayley's a better wrestler. Bayley's a better talker. And there's, and unlike the Nail Mob, who's a small niche market of fans, there's more of a wide-ranging audience that actually, that Bayley actually appeals to. Now, some of that, so you can say whatever you want. Some of his booking, yes, some of his booking, but a lot of it's on that individual to connect with the audience in a wide way. Bayley's character reeks of actual underdog, home slice girl, you know, the girl from next door where, you know, you didn't realize she was built the way she was built until she decided to come to the prom like Cinderella. Like, whoa, she's built. Like, you know, one of those kind of stories. Naomi,
hey, but you she can, is, you
know, though. I'm just saying, you know, but you can tell Naomi was probably the fire girl that picked on Bayley when they were in high school because she was the fire girl. You know, she had her hair already did all the time, had her nails done all the time, had a rocking body, which we know her to do, but her personality is like, eh. Because she had everything else going for her physically. She didn't have to develop a personality.
Hold on, Micah. Hold on, because as this is the barbershop, where Barbershop Talk meets radio, let me just reintroduce people to what that exactly means.
Hold on here. Is this a barbershop? Is this a barbershop?
Yes,
it's a barbershop.
Yes,
it is. I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but healthy conversation. That's
yeah,
all
right.
Right.
You got Jerry Rose, the pop doc.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
And that's including a black woman who who I admire. I appreciate her. I'm not saying she's a bad talent. I think she deserves it. All the above, they can give her kudos. I still think they gave her the title because it was Black History Month, and they're trying to make some kind of a public display of her being from Orlando and the stuff that they already posted on Total Divas with the shooting that happened in Orlando, her being closer to it with the nightclub, the tragedy events of the nightclub pulse down in Orlando. I just, that's how I feel. Doesn't make me a coon because I said that. It's what it is. 347-637-3599. It is the barbershop. Welcome to the Bible. This is Toph. Toph calling in. Toph, this is you?
Hey, what's going on, Goose?
I can always hear you. Hey, Maverick! I always hear myself. I can always hear myself in the background when I know it was you there. Talking Monday Night Raw. But before we get to that, real fast, wanted to nod you that I knew you was here. Real fast. You brought that back up, Micah, and you got my, you got me all, my blood all boiling all over again when I was done.
I'm sorry. But it's the truth. It's the truth, though. It's the truth. Look, everything about Bayley, everything Bayley, the only thing that Bayley is not better at Naomi at is being an athlete. Naomi's got crazy athleticism. And she had half of Bayley's wrestling talent and three quarters of Bayley's talking skills, her being a champion, I wouldn't complain about. I wouldn't be complaining about anything.
And I'm not the biggest Bayley fan. I don't think her personality is all that great either, but I do think it's I would go above Naomi's, yes, but you know, very, very much so. None of them are Charlotte, so it doesn't matter. 347-637-359. But Raw is tonight. That's what's happening. I do like what Micah said. I mean, not Mike, I'm sorry. Vaughn said in our chat. I don't see it happening, Vaughn, but I would love it to happen. And he said he could see Triple H starting a stable, a faction, with Samoa Joe and one Kevin Owens. I love wrestlers' minds. That's a very good I can see it. I would love to see it happening. It's just one of those things that, you know, sometimes I just, you know, when it's something sounds really good, it's just not happening. You feel me? So that's how I feel about that. But WrestleMania is coming up. It is around the corner. I will be watching Raw tonight. I will catch it late, although I don't miss Raw typically this time of year for nothing. I just don't. But I'm very excited for Supergirl today as they bring in, I can never say his name correctly, Mikko Plistic? Help me out. You're the comic book guy here, Micah. Come on, nerd. Help me out.
I'm not a comic book guy, but it's Mistoplex. Maybe
Mistoplex. There it is. Well, comic book nerdy guy. Hey, we're different nerds, okay? You're the nerd that knows names. I'm not, okay? I didn't even know who X-23 was. I had to look her up for the Loki movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who X-23 is either.
See, look her up. That's a little girl that's in the Logan preview of the movie. But Raw is tonight. We got Toph joining us. Toph, are you looking forward to Raw tonight? A lot of good things ended last week. What's going to happen with Samoa Joe? Best friends no more. Bayley is champion. And we're going to see Braun Strowman actually really slam the Big Show.
Yeah, Raw should be good tonight. The one thing I'm disappointed in, I believe WWE.com revealed it today, not to piggyback, one of the things about the Rumble really disappointed me was I was expecting something out the New Day. I think for me personally, the New Day has kind of run its course, and I was kind of hoping, okay, because every time in the past there's been like a gimmick match where it's every man for himself, like the Rumble or Money in the Bank, they've always just put one of the New Day members. They never put all of them. So I was really excited to see what they were going to do because all three of them were in the Rumble and they did nothing. They were just there. So I was just kind of like, okay, you got Cesaro and Sheamus, they're the tag team. You got Gallows and Anderson.
They're going to host.
They're going to. To me, the fact that they're going to host WrestleMania, that just tells me, okay, creative has nothing for you. They have no clue where to take the New Day next. I'm not stupid. I remember when The Rock hosted WrestleMania 27.
Creative never took the New Day anywhere. The New Day took them there. The New Day did all that themselves, I believe. I really believe that. Creative had nothing to do with the New Day. Nothing at all.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's next
they
for
thought
them.
They would
I mean,
fail.
I guess that Mania will just be getting a bunch of, you know, backstage segments of legends throughout the matches. So, but going forward, I was just
booty pops.
I was just
we're gonna have booty pops.
Booty pop. Yeah. But outside of that, though, I'm looking forward to Raw. Strowman's improved. I like Strowman. He's growing on me. I like Strowman. He reminds me a lot of the Giant back when the Giant like first started, like back like you know early WCW Giant. So I like Strowman. I'm looking forward to the Cruiserweights. I think they're getting better. The fans are responding to them a lot better each week, so that's good. The fans really like Tozawa, so that's very good. He's getting genuine reactions, and I think Raw will be good today.
Wow, he loves to put it out there again. Boy, Michael wants me to get my head knocked off. But let me ask you this, Toph, because you're a different type of wrestling fan than I am, and I respect you for that. Am I misguided in my opinion about Naomi winning the championship?
Is how I see it, man. This is how I see it. I can tell you, like, you're saying Naomi won because, you know, Black History Month and she's from Orlando and blah, 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 you know, and there could be some truth to that. This is why Naomi won, in my opinion. See, the problem is nobody wants to be on the pre-show, man. You saw it last year. There's like three matches in the pre-show. What normally happens with female talent at WrestleMania? There's like a gimmick tag match or something. So to the people that wanted Alexa Bliss to win, I ask you this. If Alexa Bliss beat Naomi at Elimination Chamber, what did she do at Mania? Nothing. Because Becky Lynch is clearly in a feud with Mickie James, and now it's going to go past Mania. Nikki Bella is feuding with Natalya, and then somehow they're going to link that into her fighting Maryse. And Carmella's just doing her own thing. So if Alexa beat Naomi...
I actually heard somebody tell me it was going to be John Cena and Nikki in a tag match with Natalya and...
With Maryse and Miz or Natalya and Miz. So if Alexa Bliss beat Naomi, then she's not going to have a match at Mania. It's just going to be a gimmick tag match, like a six-woman tag. Remember last year? It was like an eight-woman tag. So when you have Naomi beat Alexa Bliss, you're now forcing a match at Mania. Because
I think one of the women get a ladder match. I do. I think one of the women's title gets
fine.
A ladder match.
That's fine. That's different. And if anything, you know what? Since the one thing Naomi is good at, she is very athletic. Since she's athletic, if there's any woman that could have a ladder match, it's her. That's the one thing she's good at. So could you? And the only problem is Alexa Bliss. She's kind of short though. So you couldn't have the belt that high in the air. But hey, you know, yeah. So if you do Naomi versus Alexa Bliss ladder match, that's different. First ever women's ladder match. Hey, they're not as good. The woman on SmackDown. They're not as good wrestlers as the one on Raw, so to make up for that, have them do gimmicks that the Raw women don't do, you know? But, I mean, I see what you're saying, dude. I mean, you make points about, you know, her being black and she's from Orlando, but the way I see it, if Alexa beat Naomi again, she wouldn't have a Mania match. She would just be like in a gimmick tag match, and you know how fans are. Fans get upset when, oh, she's a champion. She shouldn't be in a gimmick match. She should be defending the title. So, you know, to the fans that say that, I say choose. What do you want? Do you want to see a singles? Do you want to see the title defended at Mania, or do you want to see a gimmick match? Remember when Cesaro was U.S. champion at WrestleMania 29? He wasn't even on the card. That's what would have happened to Alexa if she beat Naomi. So that's why she won, in my opinion.
Well, anyway, I thought Becky would get her title back at WrestleMania anyway. So no matter how it goes or how it's going to go, I just think, going into Orlando, it's better for Naomi to be the champion with that crowd than trying to not win it at WrestleMania with that crowd. And again, I'm not saying it doesn't deserve it. So make sure you put that kind of stuff out there too for me, King Von. Don't get me slaughtered, okay, by the Naomi, by the what they call themselves? Naomob. Okay.
Man, there ain't no daggone mob, man. They sitting here, they ain't nothing but keyboard warriors and thugs sitting here like, well, you're this and you're that. How about you take your stupid identity politics and go cram up your hot pots, all right? Is that kind of thinking that got the orange, or excuse me, dark orange elected? Maybe you should try a different approach, dummy. All right, I'm done.
That's fine. Let me ask you guys a question. I don't play phone games, but I have been completely obsessed with WWE champions. Have you played it, Micah?
No, I didn't play it. I haven't played it. I have an interest in playing it. You said it was like Candy Crush for a wrestling fan.
Listen, I thought about it for a second.
I was like, eh.
Listen. It's a puzzle game, right? And based upon the gems you put together, you fill up your meter for your two signatures and your finisher. And
so
you fill up a what?
You
fill up your meter. If you break the stones, like say you get three stones, you break up three gems, three different sets of gems that'll fill up your tank, right? Once your tank is filled up, you can then use that to do the finish. Well, every time you do a move and you break a gem, it shows the two wrestlers in action fighting each other. It's a really fun. You watch them clothesline, jump off the top ropes, do the you know, whatever your favorite star does. You see them do all, right, as you're breaking these gems and trying to fill up your meter to win. And you get different. It's like Marvel Champions was. Remember, you had different levels of star tier guys. It's the same concept except in a puzzle form. And I am completely enamored with this damn phone game. I have never, ever paid money for a mobile game in my life. And I was so upset that I was out of energy, I spent $5 to get somebody else. Like, when my guys are defeated and I have to wait like an hour or two, because I don't want to spend no money for them to be healthy again, I'm excited as hell that my phone alert goes up and says, like I just got one said, Roman Reigns is healed. I'm like, yes, I'm going back in now, and I'm going to win. I'm Tom, have you played this game at all? Are you a phone guy? I'm not really a phone guy.
No, I'm not a phone guy, but I've heard positive things about the game, so it's definitely something I would consider.
I love it. I do. All my body and soul loves it. And I really, really like this game. 347-637-3859. Micah, what do you want to see happen on Raw tonight?
My phone was doing something stupid. Fantastic. So here's what I want to see on Raw tonight, okay? I want to see less commercials. That's all I really care about. I know you got paid for people, whatever, what have you. But the one thing I always wanted for Raw, the one thing I still want for Raw, and that's just a show that paces in a way where I don't feel like I'm watching something for 3 hours. You know, when I watch SmackDown, I don't feel like I'm watching a 2-hour show. I feel like I just watched a show that just happened. And I was like, wow.
Hold on. Blind tag. You might want to take to the Twitter account, because your favorite Twitter guy is on. He's saying, y'all really reducing this girl to a status quo. I respect opinions, but there is a line.
Okay, so you can go ahead and take your line. There's a spot where you can put it, and it's involved with the line that's in the crack of your back. You'll be all right. It's entertainment. It's an entertainment-based product. If you like Marvel Comics movies, and I tell you that Marvel Comics movies are trash, you can't then get mad and try to prove to me that Marvel's comic movies are not trash because of, oh, they got more money than DC movies. Oh, they have better direction. Who cares? If I like Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice over any Marvel movie, and that's my opinion, it's an entertainment-based product. It's okay. and they only been wrestling for 8 years. I don't care you've been there for a long time. That doesn't mean you deserve a championship. Like, Zack Ryder was there forever, and he got an Intercontinental Championship last year. That doesn't mean he deserved it. he was just there. He just had it, okay? So whatever, all right? So they can always come at me. I am Emmy Richmond on the Twitter. I'm not afraid. I am not a quitter, and I throw no hitters just like Jay Arrieta. So, you know, and so you can come at me if you want to. So I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
Well, somebody just challenged him to call into the program. Let's see if he does that. If he doesn't or not, you know.
They won't. They won't, because that's what they're about. That's what the real – see, that's what the Naomi mob actually about. They're about virtue signaling. Well, you don't like it because you're doing this, and you should be respectful for the black woman, especially dark-skinned black woman, because, you know, they're downtrodden. All right,
but the worst part about it is that I do respect her, and me saying that – is nothing at all to do with anything else other than – I think that was one of the reasons. And the fact that they refused to acknowledge that or hear that, I think is the worst part. But
there's a lot of companies that do things for black people only during Black History Month.
Well, let's go ahead real fast. Coming into Wednesday's show, as we go to Perfect Plex Talk Radio, we'll be talking about WrestleMania and something like this. I seen on WWE.com today. I want to share this with you guys. The worst WrestleMania heartbreak losses of all time. And we'll be right back with Best in.
The stakes are incredibly high at WrestleMania for WWE superstars. Leaving the show of shows with a loss can alter a career forever. From the final stands of WWE's greatest legends to shocking moments that change sports entertainment forever, these are the six most heartbreaking losses in WrestleMania history. The Rock and John Cena talked so much trash before their WrestleMania 28 clash that it became a must-win for both of them. Cena was about a millisecond away from spoiling The Rock's Miami homecoming, but he made the fatal mistake of attempting the people's elbow on its creator. The Rock celebrated his first one-on-one victory in 10 years while Cena sat on the entrance ramp with a thousand-mile stare. The distraught look on his face will long be remembered by a generation of Cena fans. Just before Macho King Randy Savage and the Ultimate Warrior battled in a career-ending match at WrestleMania 7, Bobby Heenan spotted Miss Elizabeth anxiously watching from the crowd. After the Warrior prevailed, Queen Sherry added insult to injury by berating the Macho King. When Sherry laid her hands on Savage, though, Elizabeth said no more. She hopped the barricade to rush to her former love's side. It was the reunion the WWE Universe had waited years for, and the lack of dry eyes in the building proved it. Shawn Michaels didn't want to do it, but he had to deliver sweet chin music. Ric Flair insisted. And when he connected, it brought Flair's in-ring career to an end. As soon as the bell rang, HBK hugged Flair and made a beeline for the locker room, refusing to have his hand raised or celebrate the win. The Nature Boy wiped away the tears while the Citrus Bowl gave him a standing ovation. The Rock had never defeated Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania. Austin spent the night before WrestleMania in the hospital, but he battled back and left everything in the ring against his longtime rival. Rock drove Austin to the mat with three ring-shaking rock bottoms to earn the victory and end Austin's in-ring career. Before Rock could celebrate, though, he sent a special message to his greatest adversary. Booker T was firmly in control against Triple H.
If you liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We've brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
347-637-3859. I'm going to call in Perfect Plex Talk Radio. Make sure you follow us at Talk Perfect Plex. Also, I don't know who came up with this, Micah. The crying Ric Flair memes, I love it. I tell you this much. The dunks that Russell Westbrook missed yesterday deserved a crying Ric Flair, and it got one. Listen, guys, I'm excited about this whole WrestleMania season. I'm not taking nothing from anything, anybody else. It's the season. Make sure tonight after Monday Night Raw, you come back as we'll be live on Talk Around the Block with Mike Knox. I'm breaking down my Monday Night Raw review. Make sure you come back and join us then. But it is my favorite time of the show every week. It's my favorite part of the show. And that's because simply things happened over the weekend. And when things happen, you have to get a little involved. And when you should get involved is when the best and worst of the weekend happen. And frankly, I don't know about you, but I come to clap my hands. I come to stomp my feet. Something like that, right, Micah? Something like that?
It's all right. I come to clap my hands. I come to stomp my feet. Yep.
What part was I missing?
I come to jump for joy, or it's either jump for joy or do my dance.
Oh,
next.
There it is. All right, best and worst of the weekend. And worst of the weekend, Micah. Listen, for me, wholeheartedly, the best of the weekend had to be the $500 money they had set aside, right, for the Craig Sager Foundation, as all the NBA players and stars and all to get together to win the money. I loved that. I chuckled so hard. I really, really did. And I love the gesture. They already had that money aside. Shaq comes up. Look at, go back and watch that when Shaq picks up Sager's son. He tried to dunk the ball. He almost missed. I thought that was funny. And for those who went and watched Steph Curry missed all those shots, it's because he had them tight-ass pants on. How can you shoot from half court those tight-ass pants? You cannot shoot in tight-ass pants. Get rid of I don't care how fine his wife is, okay? And she is fine. You can't shoot in tight pants. Worst of the weekend had to have been absolutely nothing. North Carolina crushed Virginia. I thought All-Star Weekend was overall a very good experience. Adrian Bronner gave me right now early fight of the year candidate as his match against Adrian Cordora was amazing. A split decision. He won it. You see, he went to the hospital after it. He really hurt his hand in the first round of the fight and still managed to pull this. I mean, this fight was great. Didn't get a chance to see it. Worst of the weekend was probably the fact that the weekend of sports ended for me, Micah. What's your best and worst of the weekend?
For me, the best of the weekend did not happen on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. It happened on Thursday night. Got a chance to get with a friend of the program. Of course, y'all remember when we did an interview, a one-on-one exclusive with James J.B. Brown for the NFL Today. Him and other people, it was hosted and initiated by Benjamin Watson of the Baltimore Ravens. It's called the Under Our Skin Forum. It was a fantastic forum. Talking about race and faith, and you know, Mike and I, we share the same faith, the same faith, same belief system, and it was a fantastic thought process about what we as Christians are to do, even in the face of certain racial conditions in America. And I had to give a shout out to Sage Steele for being the star of that. Sage Steele, you know, from as a host on ESPN, she was the most impactful speaker because of her impactful experience in her life, having being the daughter of an interracial couple. So there's a lot of things that she brought to the table that others could not. Worst of the weekend, the fact that they didn't get the 200 points and they were right there a minute and 30 seconds away from you, jerks. Give them my 200 points. Okay, I'm good. I'm good, Mike. I'm good.
Listen, guys, our time is up. Do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me and don't love God. We out of here, y'all. I share the night for Around the Blocks with Mike Knox. Fingers.
Not a game. game. We talking about practice.
Great cash, homie.
This is the Soulin' Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soulin' Sports, we keep it hot, man.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
If you're not down with that, we got you!